Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Gilcast. It was a long summer. We're here. Davis Maddock, Sammy Reed, Nate Noling. Sammy's wearing his Fantasy Insiders t-shirt. We started the year on big, fat W's. Absolutely destroyed the cash game streets. Had a good enough week in cash to pay for some of the worst GPP teams you have ever seen. We're tilting. Well, I'm tilting. You know, injuries and all these season-long leagues, and you know, you start out and you lose. But boys, we're here, and unfortunately, we are not going to deliver the people what they want. No fat L's to be taken this week.
It's tough, but I think the people need to be prepared for a new kind of mature Gilcast, right? Davis bought a house, he got married. You know, I had a second kid, and Nate got on the carnivore diet and eats liver, frozen liver out of little Ziploc bags of snacks.
Nate is basically the liver king. Yeah. What can we do?
Not Ziploc. I'm not getting plastic in my life, dude. All glass.
All glass. He's got a couple gray hairs I can see. I mean,
I turned 30 like a week ago. It's crazy. Same. No longer young.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just some old fucking dads on this show. But I'm definitely going to be roasting myself on this program because I made one of the worst plays I have ever made in my entire life. And I'm pretty excited to talk about this awful play that I made. But the official standings of the Gilcast: Whirling Dervish, 186.32 points. Nathan Noling, 182.92 points. Davis Maddock, 168.52 points. I mean, Sammy, you played the Steelers defense in cash. Just an all-time put it on the table, run hotter than shit. I mean, it's real. And this team you played, I think, is super suboptimal. But you got the Steelers defense. I mean, I think you made one of the largest tactical errors in the history of this show with your tight end selection, which we'll get to. Yeah. But just you got the Steelers defense, and that's all that matters.
That's right. You know, sometimes I'm sure you're looking at my team and you're like, well, you know, Nate's running it through his algorithm. He's like, well, you know, it's a little suboptimal. I think, you know, you gave up a point and a quarter of equity here. And, you know, but you have to understand, it's week one. Like, week one is an art. It's not a science.
It really is. I mean, there was so much up in the air with projections, like, which we can talk about a little bit when we get to the cheap wide receiver roulette. But it really was kind of an all-time, you got to go with your gut, because there were, you know, one, a lack of preseason injuries. Normally there's like a couple free squares in week one. They're really, really the only free square. I think there were two. I think Kelsey and Pittman were the two complete free squares. And then
but normally the free squares are super cheap and allow you to get whoever. Yes. I actually thought it was more clear at the top than it was at the lower end this year, which is a weird week one for sure.
Yeah, there were two playable quarterbacks, like five playable running backs, one lock wide receiver, and then like third, like literally, I think probably 20 guys you could have played at wide receiver, which has got to be like the most you could have ever played in a week one slate.
Yeah, I was surprised Damian Pierce, and as the week went on, projections were not on Damian Pierce, so like that's why he wasn't popular. But considering his popularity at the end of hashtag draft season, where he was going like fifth round, sometimes fourth round, it was like I was kind of surprised at 4.8 that he didn't get. I actually don't know what his ownership was, but I'm kind of surprised he wasn't more popular.
The Rex Burkhead takeover was real.
Yeah,
Rex Burkhead was never gone, is the thing.
Well, you know? I mean, the thing with Pierce is that people do, by and large, just play the projections. Like, they're not like you're not just like hot taking player stuff that often, at least in, you know, if you're playing like a lot of teams, like you're at least looking at a projections. And no one had Pierce as like a huge value. Looking at ownership in the single entry $50 double up, he was 19% owned, so the fourth most owned running back, which is right about where you would expect, I think.
Yeah, okay, a little higher than I thought, actually. But because I would never really I don't want to say I didn't consider him, but not seriously.
Yeah, he was the fourth owned running back in the $25 single entry.
Wow, get on my face. I'm totally wrong that he wasn't popular.
Yeah, and the team, the big difference between the rough structure the three of us played and the Pierce team was they played Dameon Pierce over the Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon, Najee Harris spot and played Juju Smith-Schuster over the 3K wide receiver spot. So
and then we have Sammy's.
I can get behind that.
Somehow Sammy had a team where he had Juju, but not Kelsey. Sammy, when you flipped, I had no idea what was happening.
I mean, let's just let's do there. Sammy, I know you got there, but you're a fucking moron for not playing $6,600.
Whoa, hold on.
Sammy gets there because he gets 24 points from a defense and scores 20 plus on everybody who has the Washington Commanders.
Well, I mean, let me turn it back on you guys and ask you guys a question. How does my ass taste? Because you guys tasted it this week, buddy. Yeah. The Steelers defense came to play.
This is a play that if you do this over the course of 100 times, you're literally losing like 70% of slates.
You know, I don't want to hear this shit, buddy. You guys played Randall Cobb. All right. You guys played Randall Cobb and you have the audacity to come at me and be like, Sammy, I don't think you played very well.
Sammy, you ran hotter than the surface of the sun. What did Joe Burrow have? Four turnovers, two of them for
yes.
I mean, it was, you ran so hot.
Look, I mean, don't tell me I ran hot because I didn't play the Commanders defense. Like, who gives a shit about the Commanders?
No,
defense?
You faded a guaranteed 20 burger. Like, just a lock it in 20 burger. He ended up getting 30 in Travis Kelce. Like, Kelce is going to be $8,500 for the rest of the season.
At 30% ownership.
I mean, so let me just say this. I think that's true, but it's not just like, oh, I don't want Travis Kelce, right? My big decision.
No, what happened was, honestly, let's just call it what it fucking is. You were too mentally weak to play Romeo Doubs is really what it was.
You looked at
Romeo Doubs and you were like, I don't know. I don't want to play Cobb because Cobb's so dusty. So let's just call it what it was. You felt safer with Smith-Schuster in your lineup than you did one of these 3K shit bums. But that's mentally weak, dude.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It is so much better to have Juju Smith-Schuster and Darren Waller than it is a 3K shit bomb and Travis Kelce. And that's basically what I did.
No. Hard disagree.
What are you guys talking about?
Especially, Juju's floor in this matchup was as low as anything. Like, we had no idea.
Oh, no. Nate is totally wrong about this. And Juju,
of course, he's wrong. Kelce
totally
had seven
wrong.
Targets. Juju had eight. Yeah, or no, Kelce had nine. Juju had eight. Like, what are
Nate's,
we talking
Nate's,
about here?
Nate's totally wrong.
You're acting like Juju is on par with Michael Pittman or something like that, just because he's in that
he
range.
Is,
he was.
Much.
No,
he is.
He's not.
Yeah.
No,
he
he's
is.
Not.
Buddy.
Nate, he
buddy.
Had Nate. He had five receptions through three drives. Had the Arizona Cardinals put up like even a smidgen of fight, he could have had like 14 catches in this game.
I understand what 100%, happened, dude. But I'm saying that going in, we couldn't have projected.
Yes, you could have.
No, it could have very easily been any one of these other guys. The
no.
Kansas
no, because
City
no.
offense
he's the
outside
one,
of Kelce
because,
had
no,
extreme
Nate
volatility. Extreme
oh,
volatility.
Nate. No, no, no,
Nate's,
sir.
Nate,
no,
you're
no,
wrong.
No.
You're so wrong.
Yeah, Juju is that dude. Like, Juju is the Cooper Cup of this season.
He is the Cooper Cup of this team. Yeah.
Come on, buddy.
Yeah.
Come on. And you have to, dude, go out and touch some grass or something. Like, you got to get out of the spreadsheets. You got to feel it. Like, this is what's happening.
You just have to look at who the Chiefs added and what the guys did and what the roles they're going to be. Like, Hardman played the same role he always has. Valdes-Scantling played entirely on the outside. Sky Moore barely played. Justin Watson barely played. Like, Juju and Kelce are... Juju is just going to replace the target share of Tyreek just with a slightly different role.
Yeah. So let me talk about, let's go over the team that I did play. So the people actually have some basis. I played Jalen Hurts at QB. I played Saquon, Christian McCaffrey, and Aaron Jones at running back. At wide receiver, I did Juju, Pittman, and Dotson. At tight end, I played Darren Waller. And then that left me $100 short, so I just played the 2.4K Steelers defense instead of the 2.5K chalky Commanders defense. And let me tell you, I had no problem with this. A, Pittsburgh projected pretty well, right? According to the projection.
I actually have a problem with it because the Vikings was the much better projected defense spot.
I played a lot of Vikings in GPP. Unfortunately, I paired them with Dalvin Cook, so that didn't like work out that well. But yeah, I mean, I get it. The projections I was using said the Steelers were a really good value. And regardless
what
of how
the
bad
projections you were using, Sammy's gut. I mean, just because you're a Steelers homer, it's like, oh, it's a division matchup. It's week one. The Steelers, they're going to get Joe Burrow.
I logged on to Steelers.com. I hit projections. Like, this is a pretty good play. No,
I mean the Vikings were one of those spots where it's like, and it ended up playing out, like the two tackles being out for the Packers, like, just destroyed their offense. Like, they were so useless on, which was the thesis behind the Randall Cobb play, which was basically like, Rodgers is going to have no time. He's just going to, his buddy Randall Cobb is in the slot. He's going to get 4 for 40. That was, I mean,
the thesis of the play was there with Cobb for sure.
Yeah. The thesis of the Randall Cobb play is you're a fish.
The thesis of the Randall Cobb play was that I was too mentally weak to play Greg Dortch, who I played in all these tournaments. He was 0.3% owned and led the Cardinals in receiving, and I didn't get paid because I ended up having to late swap off all my Mahomes teams because I played Christian McCaffrey and Eli Mitchell, who were like the worst plays of the slate.
Tough scene.
It really was tough. It cost me like a good chunk of change having to swap to these fucking Justin Herbert teams.
Christ. Well, that's what I did. And basically my decision, the way that my team was different than other teams is most teams, and a lot of sharp people did this. You know, I read like Levitan's cash game review, and obviously he's like a really good cash player. And I know a lot of
Levitan
other guys
played
did this,
my but, team, but just put his nuts on the table and just left $500 to play Hurts over Lamar.
Yeah, that's just
that's
strong.
That's
alpha.
That's grown, that's really strong.
That's alpha shit. But I'll tell you what, we'll talk about the real alpha shit because Nate one-upped that. And I want to talk about Nate's lineup in a minute. But let me just get out my take with my lineup. Obviously, I ran hotter than the sun's taint to get 24 out of the Steelers. But let's not act like it was a bad spot. Like, the Steelers have a really good pass rush.
I'm not saying it's a bad spot. I don't think the Steelers' defense play was bad. I think the bad thing you did
was not take Kelsey, who's like the best value on the slate. I freaking get it, right? But at the end of the day, I felt terrible about Randall Cobb because I felt terrible about the Packers offense. And lo and behold, I was
Dortch, bro.
I was justified. I ain't playing no Dortch, bro. I ain't never heard of Dortch before yesterday. And then secondly, it's not like Randall, it's not like everybody on the Packers is dead and Randall Cobb's the only guy there, right? They have Watson and they have Dubs and they have Sammy Watkins. It's not like, oh yeah, Randall Cobb is just like this target alpha. I know he was super cheap, but like, I thought what he did, three targets and two receptions for 14 yards or whatever, that was fully in the range. And I didn't want that. I wanted Juju and Waller. Like, I think Juju and Waller together had a much higher floor. You know, I think Waller like outscores Kelsey, I don't know, like 35% of the time, 40% of the time. And Juju just crushes the shit out of Cobb. And lo and behold, like I said, Kelsey had 9 targets. Juju had 8. They easily could have been a wash. And I just smashed that spot. So I feel pretty justified.
Cobb,
in my play,
just FYI, guys, Cobb did.
Sammy, I agree
with Packers in routes run.
Sammy, with you in theory. It's just the specific of Juju to me has more volatility than what you two are assessing. Like, I think the Kansas City offense outside of Kelsey has more volatility and projection input.
Absolutely zero.
You have to understand, Nate, I don't know if you've been following Davis's or my Twitter feeds over the offseason. I know you've been on the farm, like milking colostrum out of cows so that you can superpower your body. But if you ever get on Twitter, you have to understand that Juju is Davis's player this year and Juju is my player this year. And like, he was 5,200 in the best game environment in the NFL this week. There was no way in hell that I wasn't playing Juju Smith-Schuster. And frankly, Davis, your brand took a big hit, buddy. Your brand took a big hit. You scored, you only had 168 points in cash and you didn't play Juju. Like, you got some atonement to do.
I thought all the Juju teams were pretty bad. I thought he was the second best value at wide receiver. And I considered briefly just playing him instead of Pittman, but every Juju team included a play I hated, right? It included Damian Pierce. It included not playing Kelsey. It included playing Derek Carr at quarterback, which was something that some of the optimizers were going after. And I just thought all of those options were bad.
Yeah. Well, they weren't. You just got out of the Steelers defense, bro.
I mean, you would have gotten spit roasted had you not played the Steelers defense.
You
would have
lost. I would have had your score if I didn't play the Steelers defense.
I don't think that's true. I think you would have had 100 and you would have been above, but you would have had 165.
Of course, because my team was fucking good.
Who did people play this week? If that is true,
I don't know. But it's week one. The fish are out. I didn't want to play two assholes at wide receiver when there was so much good value at wide receiver. Like, wide receiver is a great place to be this week, and I didn't want to play two assholes. You know,
the reason Sammy's team would have made it is just because of Saquon. I think a lot of people played running backs that just didn't do
that,
anything
that were so, not as good as Saquon.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people played Pierce. Imagine. A lot of people played Aaron Jones. A lot of people played. What Najee did okay even with the injury, right?
No.
He only got
10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine not playing Saquon Barkley in the year of our Lord 2022.
Oof.
Yeah.
That would have been bad.
All right. Let's talk about it. Should we talk about Nate's team or should we just roast Davis? What do you guys want to do?
Well, we can talk about my team because I did have a differentiate, like a 33%. I was the only one who played Mixon.
So Nate, let me get this right, Nate. You basically did what Levitan did, only you did use the extra 500 to get from Green Bay's backup running back to a bell cow and Joe Mixon. That's what you did, right?
Yeah, I liked Hurts more than Lamar.
Straight up.
And damn so right. I wasn't going to play Lamar.
Which, by the way, it was totally fine. And also, Lamar fucking ran six times, and one of those was like gonna be a sack, and he just scooted out of bounds. So, definitely feeling like a very good opinion to straight up play Hurts over Lamar.
Yeah, meanwhile, Jalen Hurts had
Hurts ran bad.
He could have had 40. I mean, he could have got the bonus. Boston Scott scored a 1 yard rushing touchdown.
Yeah. Boston Scott, Kenny Gainwell, and like, I mean, he literally ran bad from a touchdown variance standpoint. And so
he totally did. And at one point, I think at halftime, he had over 150 passing yards and over 50 rushing. Like, he was pacing to double bonus, and he didn't get either of them. Like, he ran bad.
Yeah. So I went with ultimately the same team as Davis, except I swapped Hurts and Mixon over Lamar and Jones.
Which was the Mixon over Jones, totally defensible.
Yeah.
Not even just defensible, but in retrospect, almost obvious. Like, I played Aaron Jones too. So I don't want to say he was a bad play. He projected super well. He was supposed to get a shitload of targets with Lazard out. You know, he's historically got a bunch of work in the passing game when their alpha's been out, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, like, we needed to read the tea leaves. Like, they've been
saying. Green Bay loves Dylan.
They
love
him.
Dylan is going to be on the field. Dylan is going to be on the field. Mixon legit has, I mean, I know people are like, oh, Samaj Perine. Mixon is a bell cow back and one of the few that's left where Aaron Jones has the talent. And I do believe that Aaron Jones has a higher target projection. But at the end of the day, week one, this just didn't make sense. I didn't think Green Bay was going to move the ball at all. I think Green Bay is going to be a bad offense. And I thought that Cincinnati was in a great spot to score a lot of points. And Joe Mixon he led the league in running back DraftKings expected points. I mean, he had 27 rushing attempts with 9 targets. So he has the upside, maybe a little less upside from a receiving game standpoint, but such a higher floor, all the goal line work. Yeah, to me, it was Mixon over Jones.
Easily. Nate, have you found that since you've been on the carnivore diet that your mental acuity and your clarity has been sharper?
The liver, it elevates you.
Yeah, I mean, I need to start ordering colostrum or whatever, because I think this was, when we're talking it out, this is really obvious. We're just like, you know, I smooth brained it. I just looked at the projections and the projection was good. And I said, well, you know, even though I don't love Green Bay, right? I think Green Bay is like in a really tough spot here, linemen out, et cetera. They're just going to throw to Aaron Jones a lot. That's the narrative.
That was really the thesis behind the play. And it turns out
that he's going to be the wide receiver. Man. Yeah. That he's going to be the wide receiver one for Aaron Rodgers.
And that's shitty. The reality is Green Bay is in big fucking trouble. And he's going to get cucked at the goal line in many instances, and he did. And they've sang Dylan's praises, not just as a runner. He's not just a big fat boy. They were so happy with the way that he operated in the passing game last year. They've talked about it openly to the point where, I mean, Dylan outworked Aaron Jones in a game where they trailed. And yeah, that was fully in the range of outcomes. That's never happening to Joe Mixon. You know, they douched it in the Super Bowl when they had like P Ryan out there in a spot where they're trying to like come back and win the Super Bowl. And they're like, yeah, we can't have this. Like that was really bad. And
I think there's still this idea with Joe Mixon that he doesn't get passing work. And he does. He does. He's not a zero. He's not a Derrick Henry in the passing.
For sure.
He's just not.
For sure. So yeah, you were very mentally strong.
Obviously in retrospect, the Jones thing looks bad, but I don't think with the information we had before Lockett,
I actually considered Najee, I think, more than I considered Jones, because I thought Najee was the potential other play to the potential third running back. Saquon and CMC were locks.
I briefly considered playing Najee over Saquon too. Yeah.
Think I would have considered over Saquon, but over Mixon, I did.
Davis, I disagree. And I want to say it wasn't obvious, but it should have been. It should have been obvious that Aaron Jones was a far inferior play to Joe Mixon.
No, I disagree pretty strongly, because
Green Bay's backup running back. What are we talking about here?
We definitely did not know he was the backup running back before.
Yes, we did.
Everything was trending that way.
They gave him a big contract extension. They've talked about it.
They say they're 1A and 1B, and we love AJ Dillon, and they drafted him in the second round.
Which
we knew.
Is totally fine if you think that Aaron Jones is like souped up McKinnon, but it turns out he's Nyheim Hines. And
you also
got to
get your hand in the dirt a little bit, Davis. And when David Bakhtiari is out and the offensive line is just depleted by injuries, they're not going to move the ball. It was not going to be a game for Green Bay where they were going to move the ball. So you're having just a less efficient offense,
which is fine if Aaron Jones catches 8 passes for 50 yards. Like it was the same thesis as the Saquon play, essentially.
Yeah, except nobody's behind Saquon.
Except Saquon literally will be out there all four. Like,
am I going to play Aaron Jones in a slate for the rest of the year? No. Do I feel
bad
about
playing him? But I
will
defend it to my
grave.
Yeah.
I'm saying it was a mistake, but I'm not saying it was a mistake before Locke. Like, it was fine before Locke.
Well, no. I mean, that's the whole point is...
and running out what happened in light of what we knew pre-lock. This isn't just like,
trying to be results oriented. Like, we knew he was going to split time, and
we knew he was going to split time, but we did not know that that time split was going to be irregardless of down and distance. We thought that AJ Dillon would be early downs and short yardage, and that Aaron Jones would be 2-minute offense, third downs. You know, playing some like why they did do a little bit of playing them both at the same time, which kind of, you know, that always gets the fantasy nerds riled up.
David's
when they
not going to take this L. Let's move on to
one. I'm not going to take the L. We all got lucky.
Yeah, I'm taking the L. That was stupid.
I'll take one of the largest L's of my career, even though we ended up getting there. But playing Randall Cobb over Dobbs or over Greg Dortch is one of the most anti-Matic dipshit things I have ever done. Like, what am I doing? Like, Dobbs has this amazing training camp. Rodgers says, like, oh, we're not bringing him along like a normal rookie. He's ready to play. And I'm sitting there in talking about lineups. I'm like, you know, Dobbs has 0 targets in his range of outcomes. He might not even play, you know, which is like fucking absurd anyway. And then, even more so, I had like the biggest premonition of my life that Greg Dortch was locked in to 5 for 50. And I not going with that gut, like, Sammy, you should be so disappointed in me, because I don't get those gut feelings all that often. But yeah, I just knew he was getting 10 DraftKings points and I didn't play him.
Yeah, you are a giant cuck weasel for that. I mean, it's week one. Like, when are the projections ever going to be as volatile and
I actually had Greg Dortch on Daily Roto projected for 9 points, like, which would have been fine.
Buddy, imagine this Gilcast where you just come into the Gil like with your big swinging dick and say, you know what? I played 1% Craig Dortch and I torched you all. That could have been you. Instead, you got 168 points. You're down at the bottom. I mean, it's just very, Davis, very
this
tough.
This is week one is your chance. You've grinded all freaking summer long.
This guy did 8,000 best ball
all
leagues.
The tweets. You're in it. And then on week one, you just play freaking Randall Cobb. Like,
Dusty what? Ass Randall Cobb. I thought
he retired. To be fair to me, I did. Greg Dortch was in all of my cheap stacks. I was not playing Hollywood Brown. Dortch was my bring back, and I obviously would
I
have
played
had
him on FanDuel.
No, but you want to know what's worse is I ended up having to swap off all my cheap stacks because my teams were so dead because I had Christian McCaffrey and Eli Mitchell instead of just playing the good plays.
Davis, just take the out, man.
I'm taking it. This is cowardly shit. I mean, Randall Cobb, bro.
Randall Cobb
in the a 35-year-old guy with a 4.5-yard A dot. It just gotta do.
I think Davis could legit outrun Randall Cobb at this point in his career.
It's so bad, dude.
Yeah.
So bad.
Not good, Davis. Not good.
You
Davis
know who else played Randall Cobb though? Nate Noling played Randall Cobb.
Of course I did. I follow projections. Like, I'm not a guy who spent all summer reading tweets of beat writers trying to figure out who Aaron Rodgers likes. That's you. That's your world. You come in with those.
And he basically said that shit about Cobb and Watkins as he was like, there was a press conference right when training camp ended. And he's like, I want Lazard, Watkins and Cobb to start, like verbatim. He said that.
Oh.
And Christian Watson, by the way,
Aaron Rodgers loves Randall Cobb and his Dusty, and whoever Aaron Rodgers decides he's going to get the ball to,
the entire thesis behind the play. And then Christian Watson, I was shocked to go look at the stuff afterward and saw that he still played because I would have thought after the drop on that opening drive that like that was just it for him. Like,
yeah, just Rodgers banished him to the shadow realm. Totally. I mean, the other thing for Nate in his defense, yes, he played Cobb, but it wasn't his second Green Bay Packer in his lineup. That's right. If you think the Packers are in, you know, tough shit and you have Cobb and Aaron Jones, I mean, Nate did the sharp thing. I mean, the other dumb thing that you did, Davis, is you wasted the money going up to Lamar when you could have used that. I mean, you just burned $500.
The $500, if you look at the way that the pricing was not dynamic this week, like it wasn't like there was like a bell curve of like the plays get better or whatever. It was like,
I don't want to hear this. You lit $500 on fire.
Well, no, but where would you have spent that $500? Like, I wasn't
Joe
playing
Mixon.
George, I wasn't playing George Pickens or whatever at wide receiver.
Joe Mixon. Dog.
I was not like Aaron Jones. I thought was rock solid. I was like, not playing him. I thought the three running backs were pretty much locks.
Well, I mean, I think it says a lot when Levitan big dicks it and just leaves the money on the table because he thought Hurts was just straight up better than Lamar, and he was. Like, that was...
I mean, about
paying $7,300 for Lamar Jackson on this slate. Like,
so I think this is interesting, which is like, I think Lamar is legit not going to run now that they're like, I thought it was kind of a meme that like he wouldn't run if he's not getting paid. But my guy ran six times yesterday, and one of them was the avoid a sack and just step out of bounds. Like, it wasn't actually a rushing attempt. There was no, I didn't watch every snap of this game, but it was on red zone a good chunk. I did not see one designed run. You know, it was all scramble. So
imagine if it comes out where they like called design runs and Lamar goes into the huddle. He's like, nah.
Yeah. And maybe, I mean, the outcome of this game was never in doubt. And when, you know, they're playing on the road at Pittsburgh or whatever, maybe that'll change.
Against a fierce defense, they're gonna have to pull out more of the stops.
Well, I am thinking like it would not surprise me if Lamar was like, I'm not getting tackled 150 times this year if you guys aren't gonna pay me.
Yeah. Nate, by the way, in this game you really got robbed. Your brand took a hit. Mike Davis only 2 rushes for the
Kenyon Drake lead. And this is like totally neither here nor there. But Avery Williams, a guy I legit have never, I don't know anything about him, don't know where he went to college or whatever. He outsnapped Damian Williams for the Falcons, which I thought Damian Williams was just Mike Davis, which was sort of interesting.
The weird thing about this game was Bateman was not like on the field as much as I was expecting. Bateman was not the wide receiver one. He only ran 25 routes on like 34.
Dude, Nate, we ran so good on Prize Picks because I trailed Nate because Bateman, he said, you know, take the over on, what was it, 47 and a half passing yards? Yeah. And Bateman wasn't even close and then catches this long bomb and we just get there.
Yeah, I was scared about that Bateman thing because I have a ton of seasonal Bateman too. Yeah, I don't know what the Bateman thing was, but that was weird that
he
was not out
there. The Bateman thing is not, you don't, like, it's going to be fun. This game was not competitive. I don't think we can take big takeaways from the Ravens, like, passing game rotation.
Yeah, maybe they just don't like his blocking. And they were like, Duvernay, get out there, set the edge.
Yeah. Let's see.
We all got lucky on Dotson. That was the thing. Like, we all played Dotson, who I thought Dotson was a fine play,
we got super lucky.
He only had five targets and
what was he owned?
He was pretty owned.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this. I did kind of like
15% in the $25.
And we did, guys, we almost got punished fading Christian Kirk. Again, Christian Kirk, he got the bonus, but he got tackled on the 1 yard line. Like we almost got punished.
Howland and Christian Kirk got work. I mean, he was targeted 12 times. Like we should have gotten smashed.
Wow. I mean, same thing. Like Hollywood Brown was pretty owned. He did score, but he didn't have like that.
He
big
did
big
score,
game.
But they got. Yeah.
Yeah. But there were other options at receiver. There were a bunch of good options. Unfortunately, a lot of them fell, like the Hollywood. I think Kirk was like 5.1 maybe. So he was right in that range, but you can only have so many of these guys, right? So I think Pittman clearly, based on projection and game environment, was like the cream of the crop there. And then I obviously really like Juju as well. So, you know, at some point you just got to pick and choose. And fortunately we didn't get the blade with some of those guys, I think, but yeah, it's good to run good in week one. What can I say?
It's very good. Like when you just starting out the year in a massive financial hole is not fun. So running good, especially because everyone plays too much in week one, like you're sitting there on your phone or your computer or whatever, just entering more games. Yes. So it's like
the last 5 minutes of lock before week one is always the lowest self-control I've ever experienced.
You're just going through the lobby like, it's a no badge. Oh, it's a no badge. Oh, it's a no badge.
Just enter. And never in the rest of the year do I do that. Week one, my brain just loses self-control for the last 10 minutes.
I love it. It's so good. Play all the volume and Pittsburgh defense just runs back a touchdown in the first 5 minutes of the game. It's like,
Sammy flops over Pitt D.
Suck it.
All of my GPP teams were Burrow stacks with Sammy. So seeing roll out Pittsburgh D, I was like, oh, jeez.
You lost your brain. All of mine were Justin Herbert, Mike Williams stacks.
All right. So I found a higher dollar team where I didn't swap off Mahomes. This will be my strategy this week was just all Mahomes doubles with an Arizona bring back. But I played a lot of guys who were bad, so I had to swap on a lot of them. This team, I played Patrick Mahomes in the $50 red zone, $25,000 to first, $200,000 prize pool. I paired him with Smith-Schuster at 24% and MVS at 9%. Greg Dortch was the bring back at 0.7% owned, which I think is the lowest owned player I've ever played. I played the Jaguars defense in a lot of tournaments because I knew they were direct leverage off of the Commanders.
Very sharp IMO.
Wish I would have played the Steelers defense or the Vikings defense. And then I filled this team out with Eckler, who was horrible, McCaffrey, who was horrible, Sammy Watkins, who was horrible, and Darren Waller as leverage off of the Kelsey teams, who was also horrible. This team did not make any money, scored 121 points. I mean, I think my tournament strategy was right, which was Mahomes was the best value, and there was ways to play MVS. You could play Hardman, you could play Sky, you could play whoever, and I liked the Dortch bring back. I mean, the other thing about this week for tournaments was, like, you had to play Pittman, who would like, mm-hmm. I'm never playing a 25% right, yeah. one off wide receiver.
Yeah. And Kelsey, was another one. And
the millionaire maker winner, by the way, like you could have played this team in cash. So what the guy who won the Millie did was he basically 3v3'd the cash team. Like he played Jonathan Taylor over CMC. I gotta find it. But like if you go find it, it was just a Mahomes single stack with like really good chalky pieces. Like it was not like when Tariq Cohen won someone $1 million in week one and he was .1. Right. Like, so it's just kind of always funny to see the chalk get there to that degree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This wasn't a week where our tournament teams were going to do that well, because the chalk did well, and which is crazy for week one, but it happened.
Yeah. I went with, like I said, a Burrow double. I had Burrow, Chase, and Boyd. And I brought it back with Sammy's boy, Deontay Johnson, at 1%.
Alpha.
Unfortunately, he did. I mean, he got like 12 targets, but didn't do anything.
As usual, that's his MO. Yeah.
And then my big stand was my leverage point. I wasn't going to play Pittman at 30% regardless. And so I played Paris Campbell as leverage off of Pittman. And then I went James Conner and Gibson as running backs with Kelsey and Falcons D. So I thought James Conner was like probably my James Conner and Gibson were my two probably highest on like leverage running backs of the week.
Yeah. Good plays.
Yeah. It did min cash for 2x, but it.
Oh, congratulations. Congratulations. Cause I have one that did not cash, but I stand by that. It was really sharp. So I went, the game that I wanted to focus on a lot in GPPs was the Chargers and Raiders, you know, and lo and behold, it didn't happen. I had a Herbert to Mike Williams stack, and Mike Williams is just like an all-time cuck boy. I mean,
what happened?
I don't know.
He was out. I thought he got hurt.
Me too. I mean,
Keenan got hurt. Keenan hurt his hamstring.
Yeah, Keenan went out, and Mike Williams just
and
said,
Mike
you
Williams
know what?
Didn't do anything.
I know. It's freaking wild. Like we got to go back and grind some film and see what happened here, because he had three targets or something, two receptions, 10 yards. I don't get it. But I went Herbert to Mike Williams. I thought Mike Williams was going to be somewhere around 5% owned. And I was just like, yeah, I want that. So I went Herbert to Mike Williams and I brought it back with Darren Waller. And then I had a Kamara and Pitts correlation, and they combined for 11.5 points. So that didn't do very good. I did have a decent amount of Kyle Pitts in GPP. And didn't make money.
Kyle Pitts is going to end his career as the player with the greatest differential between his expected points and his actual points in fantasy football history.
Yeah. Kyle Sklansky. Is that what
I don't
we
know.
Should start?
Calvin Benjamin wants a word.
I played Saquon on this team. I used MBS. I thought MBS was a sharp pivot off of, you know, the pieces, the Juju's and the Kelsey's for KC. And lo and behold, you know, Patrick Mahomes
did
throw.
If I got to see these ownership projection or these actual ownerships and knew that Mahomes was only 10, 11% in all these contests, I would have like taken out a loan to do more Mahomes teams. Like he was just so, and I guess maybe the thing that will keep him from winning people $1 million a bunch this season will be like they're just randomly going to throw touchdowns to Jody Fortson and Noah Gray. Whereas, right. like,
I think that's the hard part of stacking Mahomes is it's so easy to stack Burrow. It's so easy to stack some of these guys. I mean, Mahomes.
Why would I want
to
stack the 17th best quarterback in football, Joe Burrow?
Mahomes and Burrow.
Narrow target tree. Remember Levitan binked a quarter milli because he just double stacked him because you know where the ball's going.
Yeah. Mahomes and Herbert both are going to be, I think, tough to stack with because of that. And it's just going to keep their ownership overall down. Like, I mean, legitimately yesterday, Herbert just spread the ball. I mean, Mike Williams did run 31 routes on 34 dropbacks, but
yeah, I don't believe that.
Everybody was getting.
They targeted 11 guys. Eckler didn't even play 50% of the snaps. Like it is a mess.
I mean, yeah, DeAndre Carter was out there balling his dick off.
Trey McKitty. I mean, everybody was getting targets. It was
McKitty.
Nuts. Yeah, Trey McKitty.
Jesus. Meow, meow, bitch. Like, at least Gerald Everett got the touchdown. I did have some Gerald Everett in my life. But, yeah, I played Saquon and Johan Dotson. I did play Jaguars defense on this team as well. And just to talk about why Davis thought Jaguars defense was a good play, and I think it was a great play in tournaments. Not that the Jaguars defense is any good, but Washington's the chalk.
Well, I think it is. They spent money on defense. They drafted this Walker guy who had a disgustingly good interception on Wentz. That was a gnarly interception.
Dude, tell me more. I'm here for the Davis Maddock
IDP. So Wentz is trying to throw a screen to McKissick, and yeah, Trevon Walker sheds his blocker and like gets his body horizontal and just like grabs the ball out of the air. It was wild. As a connoisseur of good defensive plays, you would really enjoy it.
This is tremendous. Yeah, that's great. But yeah, I'd say, did you just check your phone to like make sure of that guy's first name?
No, I knew him from betting because of the number one overall pick stuff.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm checking my phone right now. I'm on Uber Tilt because I stacked the Buccaneers in my home league and CeeDee Lamb is my keeper. So I'm like already dead in my home league with my college buddies. So I'm sending out trades right now, trying to acquire picks and fab for next year.
You're not excited about Cooper Rush starting 5 games for the Cowboys?
Well, it would be amazing if they would trade picks for Jimmy, but they can't afford it because of the Zeke contract.
And Jimmy's now going to be starting again in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Wait. If Elijah Mitchell's actually hurt, could we see a Zeke for Jimmy G deal?
Dude, Jimmy G will be starting in San Francisco by week 5. Like,
yeah, I need to take a big fat L on Trey Lance. I mean, he's just not good.
There was bad weather.
I don't care. He's not it.
Dude, I'm not trying to overreact to week 1, but I do think Jimmy G will be.
Well, here's the thing about Trey Lance is we've wish casted on him for a long time. He is a very good runner, but he just missed Tyler Kroft for like a walk-in touchdown. Like, he just is, his mechanics are weird. He's also like, I don't know, maybe he'll end up being one of those guys who like figures it out 4 years from now or whatever, because he has all these tools, but he just is not there yet.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears tough. D is not good. The Bears D is not good at
tough,
all.
Tough for my fantasy portfolio, because...
Well, also tough for mine, but yeah. What can you do?
No, that's all right. That's all right. I woke up today after playing the Steelers defense, logged in my DraftKings account. I looked at the account balance, and you know what it said? It just said full. I mean, this is an amazing day. I'm so happy, you guys.
His account balance just said full. Just full. I mean, it's just to play Randall Cobb and get away with without 4-figure losses is just, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Can we talk about
Devontae Adams?
Yeah, we should talk about Adams. I wanted to talk about Travis Etienne. I got Etienne real wrong.
James Robinson is like, James Robinson and AJ Dillon are going to be like the guys you needed to have this year, I think.
Dude, I mean, I have a lot of Etienne in seasonal. I had Etienne in GPP. I was like, dude, James Robinson is going to get 2 carries for 5 yards. Etienne is that guy. And instead, he got 4 freaking rushes. I'm like despondent over this.
It's bad.
We know it's that running, like projecting running back volume is not the same as projecting wide receiver volume. The reality is we are just so much better at projecting wide receiver opportunity than we are running back opportunity.
Because running back opportunity is not earned, it's given, and wide receiver like, opportunity is earned.
Right.
The top 5 wide receivers this week on DraftKings for expected points: Devontae Adams, Ja'Marr Chase, Cooper Kupp, Michael Pittman, Justin Jefferson, and AJ Brown was number 6. I mean, those were all guys that were going in the top. I mean, those were all the top guys. And then you look at running back and you get Rex Burkhead, Antonio Gibson in the top 5 with Cordarrelle Patterson at number 6, AJ Dillon at number 7, Michael Carter, number 8. Like, Christ. I mean, we just aren't as good at projecting that. And I think
I had Michael Carter projected for that role. I started him in a bunch of leagues.
I did too, but nobody had Rex Burkhead. Nobody wanted Gibson. Some
websites had Rex Burkhead projected ahead of Damian Pierce.
Is it
dailyroto.com?
Dailyroto.com had Rex Burkhead projected for more points than Damian Pierce.
I mean, Aaron Jones is not up there. Travis Etienne's not up there.
No.
ETN, if you took Henry's ETN, like there. You need to be bidding at all on Jalen Warren and Jeff Wilson Jr. this week because ETN is unstartable. Also, by the way, like we're
Cordarrelle Patterson is going to be a thing again.
Yeah, until he hurts his ankle. We also need to have a conversation about like Trevor Lawrence's cheeks, dude. He ain't it.
Actually really bad because I spent some of my offseason equity, actually a decent amount, under the assumption that Trevor Lawrence is it. And
the ETN thesis is that Trevor Lawrence is good and that ETN is the receiving back. And that did not pan out.
It's not even that. I mean, yes, it's some that he could be a receiving back, but I don't. From what I understand, he wasn't even that good of a receiving back in college. But it's more like, that, like,
it's bizarre. It's like he runs the routes really good, but he literally can't catch. I mean, did you see his reception yesterday where he has to turn his whole body around and he fell down?
Yeah, don't love it. I mean, get smooth, kid. I think the thesis is James Robinson is undrafted Achilles dust, and ETN is a dynamic player. And
no more
instead,
fakes, guys, this is brutal. We're gonna
Nate, this ties into Prize Picks because I smashed ETN over rushing yards at 45.5 and he freaking got there. He got four rushes for 47 yards. I ran so pure yesterday, but I shouldn't have got there.
Just withdraw from all these sites after week one. You just
go put it take it all out, put it in a low yield CD or something like that and call it a day.
Yeah, that Rex Burkhead Damian Pierce split was not what anybody saw.
Rex Burkhead's just good at the game, you guys. I mean,
who could have predicted that Lovie Smith would have given the veteran more touches than the fourth round rookie? Who could have predicted this?
Unforeseen.
Yeah. How about Derrick Henry? 8 DraftKings points yesterday is a 4.5-point home favorite.
You love to see it. You'd love to see it. I just hate Derek.
Weren't you texting us on like Saturday night talking about your big dick strategy just to shove all in on Derek Henry and GPP and crush everybody?
I mean, I did play a little Derek Henry in tournaments. How about Kadarius Toney playing 6 snaps behind David Sills and Richie James?
Yeah, and Sterling Shepard catching a deep ass touchdown and just relegating him to the straight up bench. I mean, is he still hurt? Do they Tony?
Wandale got hurt in this game.
Yeah. And they still didn't put Tony in the slot.
They're playing Richie James, who's like a career punt returner, basically.
It's gotta be something, right? Because A, they seem to not like Tony's attitude, but then B, he obviously missed like almost all the preseason. So maybe they're just like, yeah. You're a young guy. You miss the snaps. You miss the work.
Just can't get any separation.
The tilting thing about the Tony thing is they won this game, so they're gonna think it worked, and they're gonna be like, we're playing Richie James because we won. What's your biggest overreaction from week one, Sammy? Your biggest like, or not even overreaction, but your biggest like, this is what I thought 48 hours ago. This is what I think now.
Davante Adams for sure. He's still Davante Adams.
Yeah,
he was the one player. I have 0% Davante Adams anywhere. I'm just like, yo, this guy's 30 years old. He's going to a new team. Derek Carr ain't that man. Like, this is just classic Raiders where they give up draft picks for this old ass dude who's like coming out of his prime, and they sign him to a big money extension. Like, this is just stone disaster written all over it. They have Renfro, they have Waller. Like, I am not investing first round capital. I am not investing $8,000 on DraftKings for this asshole. It's just not going to happen. And instead, he got 17 targets. He was clearly the alpha. I think they threw it to him on the very first play, and they just established, yo, this narrative where, like, you know, this love connection between Derek Carr and Davante Adams, you know, they're playing with each other's kids and, you know, going out on picnics and shit like that. It's it's real. And he just completely crushed Renfro. He completely crushed Waller. I was not expecting this at all. And it's here to stay, I'm sure. So Davante.
Yeah, I love that. I was so wrong on that too. My thesis on Davante had nothing to do with Davante, but had more to do with Derek Carr. He just seems like the type of guy who is always
well,
going to have
Carr
his,
played like
Waller
shit in that
and
game
Renfro.
And it didn't matter anyways. Carr played horrible in that game and it did not matter. Adam still smashed.
Yeah, Carr just seems of course he played horrible. Target Renfro and Waller, but I mean, literally Devontae was his guy and he wasn't looking anywhere else. The other biggest takeaway for me was AJ Brown is Hurts' guy.
Yeah, like, grown ass man.
I mean, people were talking about like maybe they brought in AJ Brown to make Devonta Smith a thing. No, I mean, Devonta Smith is officially not it. Like,
dust.
I mean, dust. AJ Brown is his first look. I mean, every time. So I'm very excited for the AJ Brown, Devonta Adams. We get another week or two, maybe of those being underpriced, I'm guessing. He's just dust.
Well, this is, I think this is funny because it was also a big preseason narrative. You know, they're talking about, oh yeah, Hurts is just locking on AJ Brown. He's getting all these targets and they're besties. And like, I kind of generally don't subscribe to a lot of that shit. And I was afraid of AJ Brown. He wasn't like a full fade for me, but I wasn't like actively, oh yeah, I got to get AJ Brown in my life. Right.
Yeah.
And instead, I mean, you're absolutely right. And I think that this can really help unlock Hurts. I think possibly Hurts is going to go a little underrepresented, possibly. I mean, I know he had 90 rushing yards, so like people aren't going to gloss over that, but like he was literally on pace to smash. And they did the Chiefs thing only in a running way where like Sanders had a rushing touchdown. Gainwell had one. Boston Scott had one. They were just like, kind of dishing it around. But
that's going to be a tilt fest all year long. Is like,
but oh, if Hurts got those three touchdowns, literally all anybody would be talking about this week is how Hurts is the number one guy because he didn't get the touchdowns.
He might be. I mean, he lost a lot of competition to be number one quarterback this week. Like Lance is going to get benched. Kyler, like the Cardinal situation looks horrible.
You thought Lance was in the competition for the number one?
Oh, if Lance ran 200 times, he could be the number one quarterback in fantasy, but he's going to get benched. I mean, he played one of the worst games I've ever seen yesterday, and he got 13 points. It's just the way the game is scored. It's just all it is. Brady, I mean, the Buccaneers are going to be one of the least fun teams to watch on offense all year. It's just going to be all Fournette and quick throws. Brady can't do it.
That offensive line is ass.
That offensive line is horrible. I mean, it's pretty much it's Josh Allen and Hurts right now, I think, in contention to be the best fantasy quarterbacks. More or less.
Yeah. Mahomes to a lesser extent, but Mahomes doesn't run like those guys.
Mahomes won't.
Herbert's still in there, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, Herbert. Herbert, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I just think Herbert is. The Herbert and Joe Burrow chatter over the offseason is some of the most exhausting shit.
Whoa. Herbert runs, I think, significantly more than Burrow, doesn't he?
Yeah.
No, yeah. I just mean in terms of like these guys are they're the quarterback you want to have to build a team. It's like, you know what? Mahomes was reading your fucking tweets all offseason, guys, and he is going to remember that shit.
Look, I mean, I just want you to remember week 16 of last year, Joe Burrow threw for 525 yards and four touchdowns. That's the fourth highest yardage total in NFL history. Like, he went to the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow can do it, okay? He just can't do it against the vaunted Pittsburgh Steelers defense, who are only 2.4K on DraftKings.com. Yeah, it was a tough week.
I mean, that's just one of my big positions. I am short Joe Burrow and long Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, so. I mean, I'm okay with it. Sure.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's not that hot of a take, but.
Well, Davis is getting older. You know, his hot takes once he gets married and buys a house, gets a mortgage, they're just a little bit milder. The spice level.
The other thing. I mean, we literally have not mentioned this yet. The Panthers look fucking horrible, and Baker was not throwing the ball to Christian McCaffrey.
Yo, did Baker kill Christian McCaffrey?
I think Baker may have killed. Like, obviously, he's still going to get the goal line work. He wasn't ceding any snaps to Chuba Hubbard or Foreman. So like, he's not going to like, I don't think McCaffrey is like Ezekiel Elliott or whatever. But for those of us who just spent our entire summers drafting him over Jonathan Taylor, that might have been an exercise in futility.
And screenshotting like when he fell to like 1.3, 1.4, you're like, I got CMC on Underdog at 1.4. Like, suck my ass. It's just, It's just not good. I traded in a all-time keeper league. I traded Ja'Marr Chase away straight up for CMC. And I want to like call the guy and be like, yo, can I also give you $200 cash to reverse this, please?
Sammy, that's bad. That's bad. Ja'Marr Chase is legit. I mean, he didn't have the touchdowns and stuff yesterday. So people were like,
he had a touchdown.
He should have had two.
Justin Jefferson is like the talk, but Ja'Marr Chase is legit. Ja'Marr Chase, I like watching him and Justin Jefferson both. Those two guys are going to be.
Well, I mean, yes, that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is Christian McCaffrey did have 11 total yards by halftime yesterday. So,
yeah,
we're drawing live, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Do we got anything else before we get out of here?
I don't think so. It's just good to be rich after week one. I know the people would love to hear Davis tilting and, you know, us losing money, and it will happen over the course of the season. But let me tell you, man, so many times you're so excited for football. You do all the drafting and, you know, you're just like so pumped and you're watching preseason. You're doing underdog teams and all this stuff. And then week one comes and you remember how shitty fantasy football is. Your guys get hurt.
It's terrible.
It's so brutal.
The first half of the noon games was, I mean, the games were so, I think there were two offensive touchdowns in the first half of the noon games, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but it just happens like that a lot where, like, you know, just shit happens you weren't expecting and your teams are dust and your guys get hurt and you're like, your DFS is just on the morphine drip and you're like, why do I do this? Like, why do I invest? And it wasn't like that this year. Instead, week one was a bevy of riches. It rewarded us for all the passion that we put in to football over the offseason. And I, for one, just want to thank the fantasy gods for this blessing before week two comes and slaps the cool ride off of us.
Yeah,
it was a good week one.
All right, boys, we will be back next week. Everyone, thank you for listening. We will hopefully have it out Sunday night next week. No promises, but until then, we'll see you then.